News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, it is Bowerly with you on News Radio 930 WBEN on a Tuesday with some wintry weather coming at us tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Captain Jeff Rinaldo of the Buffalo Police Department. I hope you found it informative. And basically, we're going to get into some other stuff this coming hour, but this double fatal accident that happened in October has been the source of so much obscene and baseless speculation online, the likes of which I do not remember any other situation like this. I'm searching what's left of my brain for its kin in public discourse. And I just don't remember it. I mean, there are some things said on social media that were just way off in left field about this particular situation. And the breaking news today is the Channel 7, the I team at WKBW, and we put up a link to the story. They released the name of the driver, Antonio Brown, who was involved in the accident that killed a couple of innocent people, Kristen Labruno and AJ 25 the third. And no doubt their families are hurting very, very much. Let's go to Greg in Buffalo. You are on WBEN. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Sure.
My two cousins were actually the ones that were involved in that accident.
In the Toyota or the Maserati?
In the Toyota. So now, on November 26th, Channel 7 released a statement saying that charges were going to be filed because the Maserati drivers were intoxicated. How come that's being taken back now?
Well, according to Jeff Rinaldo, it's not being taken back, but what happened, apparently, and I only know what the captain told me, they, meaning the prosecutors, are waiting for those toxicology results to be certified. Apparently, in evidence, there is a requirement for some certification. So once they are certified, at that point, presumably, if the grounds exist for charges, they'll proceed with filing the charges. It's got to be, if these people were your cousins, it has to be extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you kind of cut out in the middle of what you were saying.
No, I said this whole thing has just been ridiculous for everybody.
Are you in a position to tell us about, I mean, I don't want to just say I'm sorry for your loss because that is just so trite. Can you tell us about Kristen and can you tell us about AJ?
Yeah, they're two of the best people anyone's ever met. I mean, obviously there's a page going with thousands of people that I heard what you said before. Like, you really haven't seen anything like this, and I don't think anybody else really has either. Thousands of people that are backing because they were such great people.
I mean, you've got the holidays coming up. You already had Thanksgiving in your family. What do you miss the most about Kristen?
I mean, she was the rock to our family. I mean, she held everything together with our entire family.
And how about AJ?
Well, he was my immediate cousin, and I mean that we were together every day since I've been 12 years old. So, I mean, you lost my best friend, my cousin of, 34 years, and nobody's giving out any answers of what's going on here. I mean, I also heard that there was a police chase involved. Does anybody else, mention that, or what's going on with that?
One person mentioned that. It was supposed they mentioned it, I think, on Facebook. There was allegedly a police chase which started in another jurisdiction, which supposedly went to Buffalo. I don't have any confirmation of that, though, factually.
Because, my friend who came out of the apartment when he heard the crash, there was a cop standing right there after the crash. How does a cop arrive there if there wasn't anyone being chased? Like, what's going on here?
Was it a Buffalo officer or from another jurisdiction? Do you know?
I don't know specifically, but I know that there was a cop there already whenever when they came outside.
That, I mean, something like that can easily be pulled up with the computer records of the location of the various cars at various times on the night in question. Do you know, first of all, are there children who are missing parents because of this?
Yeah, two of them.
And how old?
I believe the one is 5 and the other one is 6.
This is just such a horrible, horrible tragedy. How did you guys get through Thanksgiving so close to the accident?
I mean, it wasn't easy.
No.
So, but I mean, we have a big family, so we have a lot of support. But I mean, it's not going to change the fact that there's, you know, missing seats at holidays.
Is it an accurate statement to say that to protect Kristen and to protect AJ's rights even after death, that legal counsel has been retained by the family to make sure that their interests and children's interests are properly represented?
Can you repeat that?
Now, did you guys get a lawyer to make sure that that your family's interests are protected? Is this
thing?
Well,
I mean, there's been a lot of help by a lot of different people.
Were Kristen and AJ cousins? What was the nature of their relationship?
Kristen was my cousin's wife, and then Anthony was our other cousin. So,
man, what a horrible, horrible thing, Greg. The speculation about what happened with respect to the driver of the Maserati, have you guys found it hurtful? Because it opened so many questions that maybe have been resolved for the most part by this Channel 7 report. Was it was it helpful because eventually the information was released?
I mean, it doesn't really help that, you know, they're saying that he's not related to Byron Brown. I mean, that's okay, whatever. On to the next thing now. Okay, why? What happened? Like, I mean, that a crash like that doesn't happen when you're going 20 miles per hour. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it was, there are a lot of factors to be considered, obviously, but when Captain Ronaldo talked about the expansive debris field, my follow-up question did involve speed.
Kristen was thrown 200 feet away from the car. She wasn't even in the car. She was getting into the car when they were hit, and she was tossed 200 feet. Does that happen when someone's going 30 miles per hour?
No.
Thank you.
No, it does not. But the hopefully, not, and again, I mean, the tragedy for you guys, Greg, is even when all of the forensic questions are answered and all of the technical questions are answered, and even when this case is adjudicated, you guys are never going to get these beloved folks back. I mean, they're gone forever, and that's got to be. I mean, this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. It's just, it's a lot to ask.
Not any of us.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
It is absolutely the worst thing that has happened to any one of us.
Is there anything that people listening to this show and listening to you can do to help in any way?
Just help. Find out what happened. I mean, everyone just wants to know what exactly happened. Who was involved, why it happened, how it happened, and why it just seems like it's being very dragged out and nobody knows why.
You wish the process was a lot faster. I mean, the faster the process is done, the faster the healing can begin.
I'm really sick and tired of hearing about the black box, too. I'll tell you that one.
What's the family's take on the black box?
I don't know. It's absolutely ridiculous. What about cars that don't have black boxes? How does that get solved?
Well, I think every car sold, I think, since 2014.
Everybody has a car after 2014?
Well, no. This was a 2008 Maserati.
I know what it was. I'm just saying how other accidents get figured out that don't have a black box in the car.
Yeah, well, they did an on-the-scene accident investigation. Have they shared any results with you guys being the victim's family?
I haven't heard anything.
So, I mean, your biggest single question, I guess, is what happened? I mean, it is as simple as exactly what happened.
Yeah, isn't that what anybody would want to know?
Absolutely.
Okay, I mean, this is just, and everyone kind of seems to be treating it like, what's his name, Flynn? If I change my mind. Okay, thanks, dude.
With whom are you most displeased in this whole situation?
I don't know, everybody, the police department, mayor, DA, you name it. Everyone keeps to kind of just, really not, the way that everyone talks about it is they really just kind of don't care and that we're making a big fuss out of this for no reason and we should just shut up and just wait to see what happens.
That's not the sense, I mean, obviously, I didn't know these people, but that's...
we'll see what happens, just everyone's got to wait, like, okay, what if that happened to you?
Well, I mean, I guess the other way of looking at it is you want to make sure that the prosecutors have all of their ducks and all of their evidence in a row so that when this thing does come to trial, if it comes to trial, you get a better chance at conviction.
I understand, but they don't have to be, they don't have to be shrewd about it.
They don't have to be what?
They don't have to be shrewd about it. They just, brush it away, oh, well, it's just another case.
Yeah, so you basically you don't feel like it's being taken seriously enough by the investigators or by the investigators.
I feel like they're getting annoyed by us wanting answers. That's what I feel like.
How often are you guys in contact with the police or the DA's office?
Well, I mean, there's so many people involved. I mean, my cousin Angelo, who lost his wife, and then my cousin Anthony, his mother. They're all getting everything, but. Everyone just talks to each other every day about who heard what and if anybody has talked to anybody about what's going on. So, they can't talk to every family member, obviously, but.
Right, right. But somebody from the families, is it safe to say on a daily basis, is reaching out to either the DA or the police to get updates?
Just about, yeah.
Well, I certainly wish you the best in getting the answers that you guys are clearly entitled to. And, the one thing, unfortunately, about the law is it isn't exactly known for lightning speed, and it's got to be impossible to wait for this thing to resolve in some way for you. I wish you nothing but the best, Greg.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. And I know I said the same thing yesterday, but you might want to check the gas tank, and you might want to ask yourself, is it better to stop off now, even though it's 33 degrees, and get the gasoline I need, or should I wait till tomorrow when the snow is blowing and it's 25? If I were in your position, I would do it now. Yesterday would have been better, but today is going to be a better day to top off the tank than tomorrow is going to be, unless you like standing out there like a snowman freezing your parts off. It is 25 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up on the show, yesterday I kind of did something, and today I want to follow up on what I kind of did yesterday, and you're probably wondering, well, what would that be? Well, you'll just need to find out after the news coming up at 5:30, including some more on the mass shooting event which happened in Jersey City today on News Radio 930 WBEN. And if you see any traffic issues about which we need to know, you may text us on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 3930. That's 3930. And by the way, if you don't have one yet, may I recommend again that you go out and buy an air fryer? I think the air fryer may be the best thing ever invented. I just threw out my George Foreman grill thanks to the air fryer. It's that good.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun.
So yesterday, right around this time, we asked you to call in with the Christmas song that you absolutely hate. And I hate to use the word hate in a Christmas context, but there are some Christmas songs which, let's face it, some of us just don't like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. That song you just heard, Phil Kennedy's least favorite Christmas tune ever. Now, there is a method to my madness. In other words, there is a reason for bringing this up again, because one of the days this week when nothing preempts it, I was actually going to do this today, but then the story came out on Channel 7, and it's been so talked about in so many different places, that horrible accident back in October, that I wanted to present an update to you with oddly enough, facts and not rumor or speculation. So, and got a pretty good response from you guys, for which I am greatly appreciative. But this part of the program, and we'll try to do this as rapid fire as possible, I want to find out from you a couple of things. Now, because it's interesting, I think about twice as many people responded to the Facebook question on Bowerly Bellavia Facebook page. Twice as many people responded to least favorite Christmas song as opposed to most favorite Christmas song. So I'm not sure how this is going to go. We'll see. But yesterday we found out that listeners to this show aren't real big fans of songs like, well, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, The Abomination, which is Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, and others. Have you a favorite Christmas song? Is there a Christmas song that is your all-time favorite? And more generally speaking, do you prefer the older school Christmas stuff, or do you prefer the more recent Christmas stuff? When a lot of us were growing up, The Little Drummer Boy, that was huge, and they still play it, but there is a whole bunch of newer Christmas music. Jingle Bell Rock, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. I have my own little title for that, but I can't say it on the radio. Is there a favorite Christmas song that you have? Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. That would be one. Silent Night, Holy Night. That would be another. But again, a lot more Christmas music out there of more recent vintage than obviously the stuff we grew up with if you are of a certain era that I am of. And that is just atrocious grammar. So the phone number on News Radio 930 WBEN for your favorite Christmas song, and feel free to sing a verse or two. How about, is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer still good? I'm serious. Is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer still a cool song? Because when I was growing up, and even back in the 1980s, when I would do a Christmas Eve show and people would call in and sing Christmas carols, usually half drunk, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was probably done 5 times every hour. It was the bomb, baby. So what is your favorite Christmas song? And I'm going to also, I'm going to throw in something that is not directly related to your favorite Christmas song. And it goes like this. All of us, now if you're Jewish, I don't know if you do the same thing, but in terms of Christmas decorations, as opposed to Hanukkah stuff, I've got my menorah in the basement, which I light up because I wish to show my support of Israel and solidarity with the Jewish people who are under increased persecution and hatred in the new Europe, but that's another story altogether. Many of you have your red boxes and your green boxes filled with your holiday decorations. And the second question, and I do want to do a more expansive or a longer show on this. Whenever you go in the basement or the attic and you whip out the green box or the red box that has your, not the videos, but that has your Christmas decorations in it, you might stumble across stuff that you know you should throw out, but you don't have the heart to throw it out. You simply can't bring yourself to do it because it's been a part of your life for far too long. I have an album in the basement, Nursery Rhymes with a Beatles Beat. I can never remember listening to it, even when I was a baby. Yet I will never throw out that album because it has been with me as long as I've been alive. And contrary-wise, have you or somebody you care about thrown out something you wish you had never thrown out? Sometimes because of sentimental reasons, other times because of, well, simply financial reasons. One of my biggest laments in life is literally throwing in the garbage what would have amounted to thousands of dollars in classic 1960s, 70s, and 80s vinyl LPs in pristine condition. I probably flushed like 20 grand because vinyl is big. So I feel like a doo-doo head. All right, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know what we're talking about. In brief, your favorite Christmas song. B, something you simply can't bring yourself to throw out. And C, what did you throw out and you wish you hadn't. Let's go to Ray in West Seneca. Ray, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
My favorite, all-time favorite, we sing that with my two daughters, three-part harmony in Latin, if I may.
Adeste fideles, leti triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Natum videte, regem angelorum, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, Domino.
Merry Christmas, Tom.
Wow. And somewhere in Eden, New York, I'm pretty sure that Bill just collapsed in ecstasy. I'm just saying, that was really magnificent. And I have to tell you, I'd never heard it in Latin before. Why? Okay, the stupid question.
My two girls were here singing it. It would have. It always has been special to us as a family.
But in Latin.
In Latin, yeah.
That's really cool. And in three-part harmony.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the guy who texts us in Latin, are you?
No.
Because now Sandy Beach and I both have somebody who has decided to text us in Latin, and mine ain't that good.
Give them back with ubi ubi est meum sub ubi, which is Latin for where's my underwear.
All right. Thank you very much, and very well done. O come all ye faithful in Latin, a classic hit from a classic time. We'll be back with more hits of the 1200s next. All right, let's go to, I feel like Sting now, and the album he did of medieval music. Let's go to Gibby in West Seneca. Gibby, is this my Gibby?
No, Tom, I'm a different Gibby, but I love listening to you and met you recently.
Oh, okay. I was actually referring to John Gibbon, who is an attorney and a member of Nerds Gone Wild.
No.
Needless to say, we call him Gibby.
Anyways, favorite song to hate is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. I used to work for a now-defunct big-box electronics retailer, and they had it on an endless loop during Christmas season. Every 20 minutes we'd hear it.
It wasn't Sun TV, was it?
No, actually it was Circuit City.
That was my next guest. Oh, man. So are you going to say...
For you.
Are you going to say that on a continuous loop, if it was Mariah Carey every 20 minutes, was it the same songs in between Mariah Carey?
Oh, yeah. It was a laser disc. Yeah, I'm aging myself here. That played the same stuff. It was just a loop for the whole shift you were there. It would just drive you insane.
Okay. To me, that would be like Chinese water torture.
Yeah, pretty much. Waterboarding probably compares to it.
So the same songs every 20 minutes over an 8-hour shift capped off with Mariah Carey.
Yep, songs and commercials and videos here and there.
I would submit to you, sir, that that actually violates the clause in the Constitution against cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And then the worst thing about it is I hate that song. It's so bad. But yet this year it means so much to me. So it's a rough one.
Okay, what do you think of the George Michael song?
Yeah, you know, it's all right. I don't know. I've changed. I'm getting older. I'm kind of softening up on some stuff. So it's all right. I'm not going to say it's terrible, but I'm not going to love it either.
Yeah, back when we used to listen on our old Edison wax cylinders, I can still remember those classics.
There you go.
All right. I'm glad you called with your LaserDisc story. Thanks very much. Oh, real quickly, is there something in the basement or the attic that you came across getting your decorations out that you simply cannot bring yourself to throw out, or have you thrown out something you wish you could have back?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. If you ever look at the stuff that your kids probably made when you were very little and you're like, oh, my God, what do I want this for? It's a little piece of paper, ornaments and stuff like that. But, yeah, you can't part with them. It's impossible because it's just something your kids did for you. And I've got a bunch of those, and they're ugly as sin, but they mean so much.
Yeah. One thing I've discovered is you save like 5 samples from each kid as exemplars, and you got to ditch the rest of it because you can't possibly save everything your kids did.
Exactly. I'm starting to get to that point.
Understood. Thank you very much. I've got a room that is just waiting to be decluttered of old photographs and documents and everything else. It's like I really do not want to leave my loved ones with a mess when I depart. Let's get back to the calls on WBE. Well, you got to be concerned about these things. Actually, I've got a break. And then after weather and traffic, we'll get to some more calls. Your favorite Christmas song. Yesterday we did the one you hate. Your favorite Christmas song. And is there something you simply can't bring yourself to throw out? And is there something you did throw out that you wish you could have back? Like all of my vinyl LPs in pretty much mint condition. Also, rinse the dishes before putting in the dishwasher. I feel like Heloise. Here is Jerry in Tonawanda. You're on WBEN.
Tommy, tell you what, here's my favorite Italian Christmas song. See if you can remember it. La, la. Remember that one?
I can't hear it real well. I'm sorry. I'm wearing headphones, but I just couldn't make it out. Can you just sing it yourself a cappella?
I'm Dominic the Donkey.
Oh, yeah. That really is your favorite?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I vaguely recall it. I do not claim close familiarity, but it is a part of a vague recollection, I think.
Google it. You like it.
And, all right, bro.
When I was a kid, I had the misfortune of not knowing the value, and I threw away my 45 Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Stones, and I think that's worth a few grand right now if I would have had it.
I don't know if it's worth that much. I would have to double check it, but like everything else, condition is all important. You know, mint condition.
If it was in mint condition, it's worth a few grand.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I used to listen to that record over and over and over again. That and the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. Let's go to Sandy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Sandy, you are on WBEN. You've got a favorite Christmas song.
Yes, I do. My favorite Christmas song is Soldier Silent Night.
Not to be confused with the ordinary Silent Night.
No, I'm sure you've heard it. It's Santa Claus coming upon a soldier sleeping on a floor, you know, during a war. And it's beautiful. It'll make you cry.
Yeah, I certainly have heard it. That is your favorite.
Well, it's one of my favorites. I always cry when I hear it because it's just so touching. But the thing I threw out that I regret is when I was younger, I had a couple sets of the black and white Beatles trading cards. I don't know if you're probably too young to remember.
No, I'm sadly old enough to remember the Beatles wigs they sold. We used to have one around the house.
I know that your brother, I'm sure he collected them.
Yeah, we had some Beatles memorabilia in the house, including the Beatles wig. I don't remember the trading cards, but I'm sure my friend Gary Astridge probably has some in mint condition.
They were in black and white, and I had them all in an album, and they were in very good condition. And
you tossed them.
I tossed them.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you very much, man. That's a tragedy. I tell you what, as events allow, I'm sorry I could not get to everybody on hold this hour, but as time and events and circumstances allow, I will bring these topics back so we can have longer conversations about them and get more calls on rapid fire. Today, we just had to go down a different road because there was some new information that had come out regarding something that a lot of people have been talking about for a long time, and we wanted to kind of clear the air, if you will. Thanks to Phil Kennedy, Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.